Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
There's nil all between West Ham and Crystal Palace. One of the most predictable nil all draws of all time. Palace had a late goal disallowed. West Ham had some chances, slightly the better of the play, and all it means is nothing, really.
Well, one was relegated officially.
Sorry. But nothing in terms of a two-point lead over Spurs. Spurs need to win games to escape the hole they've dug for themselves.
What do we got here?
Can they do it?
Well, they remain 18th. Spurs, 31 points, minus 11 goal difference. West Ham, after that point, up to 33, so it's 2 points between them, but their goal difference is inferior, minus 17. But it's getting interesting, that each passing game, I did really think to myself recently, when are they going to win these games? They haven't won in 2026. So a reminder here for Spurs fans and those of interest, who do they play next? Wolves at Molineux, the Matt Doherty derby on Saturday.
Already relegated Wolves, right?
Yeah, then they go.
That is actually a massive game.
There's two ways these things go.
They relax.
D-mob happy, put in their best performance of the season, or they're like, I don't care about this. I ain't getting injured.
Will they win that game?
Will Spurs win that game?
Yeah. They should, yeah.
I think they'll draw.
They'll draw against Wolves.
Yeah, I think they will.
Then they go to Villa Park.
Yeah, no, they're not winning that game.
No, they're not winning that game. Now, that will be sandwiched in between the Europa League semi-final, two legs against Forest.
That is on Sunday week.
Which is, you know, heady, difficult. I think the one thing that Spurs have going is that Chelsea are so bad that Villa might be able to draw their way out for the rest of the season and still qualify.
Possibly. Chelsea play Brighton tonight, actually. That's the one game in the Premier League tonight, away to Brighton. Back to Spurs here. So they go to Wolves, they go to Villa, then they're at home to Leeds.
Potentially already safe Leeds.
They're winning that?
No, I don't think they're going to Leeds.
No, they entertain Leeds. They go to Wolves, they go to Villa.
Their home record
they're
is
at
awful.
Home to Leeds.
Doesn't really make a difference, does it, if they're home or away?
Calvert-Lewin showing them what they could have had.
Their last away game in the season, Stamford Bridge.
No, they're well.
No.
They could sneak a draw. I could see Chelsea. Nah, probably not.
I see everybody's giving out about Chelsea, but they were creating loads of chances against United. I mean, they played badly, but they created chances. Everybody creates chances against Man United.
They hit the woodwork a couple of times. Moises Caicedo had a shot from distance. It looked like it was going in at one angle.
Should have scored.
And Spurs finished their season at home to Everton.
Wouldn't that be great?
So to recap, for
James Coleman will play that game.
Bobby
sure.
D will know all this already, but for everyone out there, Spurs' last five Premier League games in order: away to Wolves, away to Villa, at home to Leeds, away to Chelsea, at home to Everton. This weekend's the big one, isn't it?
You know the way nobody wants Arsenal to win the league, right? Well, although I think there's been a bit of a change since everybody realised
he's on the record saying he wants Arsenal to win the league.
How cocky Man City have been over the last few days. But in general, you would say that there's been a surge of anti-Arsenal feeling. It is unified fan bases who traditionally would be at each other's throats. They've laid down their weapons. They're gone for pints together. They're reminiscing over old times and they were friends before the internet intervened and ruined their lives. How does everybody feel about Spurs going down? You don't want them to go down because you've got family connections.
No, I don't want them to go down. I like Spurs in the Premier League. I like the stadium.
But imagine how great it would be having a couple of seasons of them being trials and tribulations.
I don't think so. You're going to stop watching them if they're in the Championship. Check it in their results.
I would absolutely.
Everyone will watch them in August. They're for those first few games in August. Right? This is a big novelty factor.
Do you remember how much you watched Rangers?
Night games?
They went down.
Zero times.
Yeah.
What a question. How many times did you watch Rangers when they got relegated?
Yeah.
Hate watching Rangers is like, oof, that's a...
No, I miss them.
I guess you're from the border region. It was like, there was parties. It was like, you know, watch-alongs.
Yeah. No,
bonfires.
it definitely came up in a few conversations every week. I don't know, I'm conflicted.
I'm surprised
on
you call them Rangers and not Sevco, to be honest, but
I don't know if I want Spurs to go down or not.
Why?
I was feeling like it would be amusing to see.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be
there.
Funny when the yellow bar confirms they're relegated. I'm not saying that's not amusing, because they are one of the very few ever presents in this greatest league in the world
since 1992.
Yeah, right. Since it's been the Premier League,
since it was invented,
they are one of the very few.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that itself would. But I like Spurs, you know, because I like having these conversations, you know. But who do you want to go up and down all the time? It's like, do you know, for example, I'm so sick of West Brom. West Brom, let's just stay away for a while with you. Watford. The problem with Watford, you never knew their starting 11. Every time you look at their team, there's like a new brand new player. So where'd they get that guy from? And then they're gone. So it's like Watford, they can stay. Norwich. Norwich didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I have no time for Ipswich.
Going back up and down. I like Ipswich.
No time for Ipswich. Don't know why.
Yeah, so that's, no, but this is the beauty of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big time Charlie Man United fans.
All these illogical feelings towards clubs. But for Spurs...
Not liking the little peasants.
I'd miss them. I like the stadium. And I suppose my recent memory, I have them romanticised in my head like that. That Maurizio era. That Spurs side. I love that Spurs team.
If they stay up, are they in another relegation battle next season?
Yeah, well,
that would piss me off.
I actually was thinking about
three seasons in a row.
I was thinking about that watching this game last night. I was like... Like, this is going to happen again, isn't it, next year? Like, who's going to... Now, unless De Zerbi gets his claws into them in the summer, and we're like, all right, enough of that nonsense.
Look,
the last
I think
two seasons.
De Zerbi will be a good short-term fix until he falls out with people.
Yeah, but that's fine. Like, I mean, because Conte and Mourinho fall out as well, you know. It's what you do in the time that you're falling in.
Yeah, Conte and Mourinho both failed in this exact job.
Who has succeeded in the Spurs job?
You would say Pochettino. I think that was... And, Ange for half a season. And then won the Europa League and got them into the Champions League.
But your point about De Zerbi is he would implode, and that's what Mourinho and Conte do. But you hope that they get a bit of good work done first.
They both have way better CVs than this guy.
But it's the same idea, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Or is he just like a facsimile?
People seem very sure that he would definitely remain in charge if they do get relegated, that he will stay in the Championship.
Well, I think they negotiated that and they said that was the plan.
Are we 100%?
No, not sure. You can never be 100%. But
I can see him leave.
You imagine they talk about it, though.
And the other thing is, it would be good for him to do that, to have that experience, because they're guaranteed to come back up.
Well, here's the next question. Would you like West Ham to stay up?
Yeah, I would. Since we had Danny Dyer in studio.
Well, Danny obviously pushes it big time. But at the same time, I mean, Danny Dyer would be gold if they got relegated. First of all. Well, his reaction would be great. I have no time for the London Stadium.
His son-in-law
will leave. Games there.
Yeah.
I mean, the TV production of it, of course. But it just doesn't... It's not a nice spectacle on the eye.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about their team. I haven't been for a long time. You know?
They have...
I don't think West Ham offer an awful lot.
I think that they've... at least made an effort to try and get themselves out of this in a way that's credible, in a way that Wolves didn't bother. So Wolves hide off the season, off you go, thanks very much, see you again.
Oh, would you have no time for Burnley?
I'm delighted that Leeds are staying up.
Yeah, definitely. Ellen Road game's always good.
But Burnley are kind of nothing. They were stuck between one and t'other.
Yeah. Now Leeds have great character. They're perennially like night games at Elland Road. There's always a feel that there's a big atmosphere at the home game.
It always feels
like it's dark and it's a bit moody. Tackles are flying in the modern way. I like them. I don't want Spurs to go.
They'll be back. Like,
I don't know. Jeez, I don't know. Leicester are going to get relegated tonight to League One.
Yeah, that is
10 years on from winning the Premier League.
Shocking, yeah.
It's not guaranteed, like, you can free fall here. You can fall into a depression.
I think the financial situation at Spurs is way better. They've been very well, carefully managed, as opposed to well managed. They've been very carefully managed. And as a result, they'll be fine. So to stay up, Leeds are 500-1 on. That's what the bookmakers think. Forest are 16-1 on, so they'd need to play out the season 17 times again, according to the bookmakers, and only once would they get relegated. West Ham 9-4, and Spurs are evens. 9-4 on West Ham. So,
do we know West Ham's games? I have them. Right, who has the better games? West Ham at home to Everton next. David Moyes derby.
It's a tough game.
Away to Brentford.
Nil all.
This is all, of course, in the context West Ham are 2 points clear of Spurs.
Yeah.
Do you know who they play next? Arsenal. At the London Stadium. Then they go to Newcastle. And they finish at home to Leeds.
Spurs are staying up.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but you see, the thing about that, that is on paper harder.
You do feel like they'll only need to pick up maybe like 3 points. See, four points.
They've timed their little bit of form that they've got all season really well. It's recent. Axel Disasi's made a big difference for them. I didn't think he would. Signed them on loan, he's been good. Like,
if they win once, I think they'll stay up.
They got a new coach in as well who helps Nuno. See, they have a harder fixture list than paper, but you can't trust Spurs to win a game. They haven't won a game all year.
Noel Cowell says West Ham are gone. Brutal fixtures. I think three, four points and they'll probably stay up.
Like the next two games, there's at least 2 points there for West Ham. At home to Everton, away to Brentford. You can catch Brentford. On an off day, you can catch Brentford.
Yeah.
And then after that, at home to Arsenal, I can't see it. But you never know. Also, Mikel Arteta's lads could implode. Newcastle season's finished.
They've had a really bad season.
Really bad.
Like no one's really talking about
that. They're bottom half of the table.
It's actually in all the papers today. They're going to have to make a decision on how staying steady with Eddie is the back of the eye. And they're like, make a decision quickly one way or another. But
so I can see, that would be their last home game of the season at St. James's Park. It'll be, the lap of honour afterwards when they do. Like, that would be a bit muted. And be, like, that's not going to be a great atmosphere there. And then at home to Leeds for West Ham the last day. Leeds could be on the beach.
They've been booed. Well, Leeds could be on the beach, or Leeds could be resting their team for a cup final, or players could be playing for a place in the cup final team. Now, there's a good chance they don't make it. But
By the way, are we also saying it's just between Spurs and West Ham for the last place?
Yeah, I think Forest are safe now. Yeah. What's the points difference, Forest?
Let me get you it now. Points difference. So Forest are another three ahead. Then they're on 36. So they're 5 points clear of Spurs.
They've had a good run of form as well, so they should be okay.
And their goal difference is Midland, -9.
I would like them to get sucked back into it for a couple of weeks so that they don't really care about the Europa League semi-final. To finish top five, right? Man United, Villa and Liverpool are all odds on. After that, it's Chelsea, Brighton, Brentford, Everton, Bournemouth, Sunderland and even Fulham are quoted here. But Sunderland and Fulham are behind Chelsea. But Chelsea might not have any European football next season. Now, there is a world in which Villa win the Europa League, finish fifth, and there might be a sixth spot in the Champions League, which would be get out of jail for Chelsea.
Yeah.
But would you back Chelsea to finish sixth?
No, I don't even think it's... I'm not sure it's a bad thing, to be honest, if they do miss out in European football, Chelsea. Let's get their shit together. Like,
they're not getting their shit together. That's not the model.
I think players will leave.
I don't want that's a problem.
Start the game. Champions League football.
What even is Chelsea anymore?
A playground for rich people. A plaything for rich people. That's what it seems to be. I listened to Dion last night talking about, was it Dion or somebody else, was saying the guy from Clear Lake likes transfers. So that's why he does it. It's like, this is cool. I sign a player.
He's having fun.
I play God. It's like Malice. I am God.
Like, a lot of their best players are disappointing. I don't think any of them will leave, but they haven't been awfully struck by injuries. There's no obvious issues there. They just haven't been playing very well.
I think they've had some defensive injuries over the course of the season.
They have, but no more so than anyone else.
No, like, I haven't looked at the days lost to injury table in ages, but... You would still suggest that having the most expensively assembled squad in the history of the world would give them enough cover to be able to finish in the top five in a season, particularly when Liverpool are weak.
Yeah.
And that has not been the case. And Man United were relatively weak as well, compared to, again, the amount of money that they've spent. So there was an opportunity for them to finish third.
It was all
bounce back from the Club World Cup, have a bit of confidence. They signed relatively well. I think Xhaka Petro was a good signing. For reasonable money.
This Chelsea side are a really good Fulham team.
Yeah. If you changed the badge and crest and they were...
It's really good.
They were flirting with finishing fifth and hoping that there's a sixth Champions League place.
Baseline staying up is good. mid-table, maybe Europa League. If that's your expectation versus what Chelsea have on offer, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But like, yeah. That
they've good options out wide on paper. They have a very skillful, technical midfielder slash forward.
Cup hammer.
They have a striker who can hit purple patches in the Premier League. And they have another really good midfielder. And then their defenders are largely forgettable.
Yeah.
But they won't reset those expectations because the Chelsea modern history is a really strong core who have won the lot. Have won absolutely everything there is to win.
Yeah. Now
It's difficult to manage that. And Liam Senior.
That one.
You know, the problem is people can't stop laughing at Liam Senior, so you can't wipe the tears away to talk about him properly. But it is a hell of a promotion so early in his managerial career. Plucked from Strasbourg because of their partnership into Chelsea. Learn on the job. Carry yourself like a Chelsea manager. It's tough.
Yeah.
He's an apprentice and he has to be the master too.
Too much at times though, like with the Enzo thing. When Enzo talked about wanting to live in Madrid, so they banned him for a game. Or the stuff with Cucurea as well, when Cucurea was talking about wanting to leave or would be open to leaving. Like, is he trying to do a bit too much at times?
Didn't they make peace?
Yeah, they did. But like,
and then still ban him. They're like, oh, we gave him a 2-game ban, then we made peace, and like we kept the second game in the ban. Is that not the bit where you go, well, he essentially apologised to us and we might have been a bit lost in translation there. And yes, of course he wants to go to Real Madrid because everybody wants to go to Real Madrid. That's fine. You just don't say it publicly. And then like still left him after the second game. I was like, that's like, oh, iron fist, iron glove. Like, that's not really how
that
it's supposed to work.
That was the thing off the press conference as well. It's like, we're just going to do this because we're setting a precedent here. And it's like, it's your captain. Like, you don't need to do this.
We're aligned that we know we need to win games of football in the now. But that doesn't go against what we're trying to do, which is give consistent success to this club. That makes some sense.
Who's that?
Well, that's our boy Liam Rosinier. Okay.
Is it absolutely mad that Man United are most likely to finish third?
Yeah, crazy. Talk about this Premier League season and the quality of it and this existential crisis conversation we had last week after those two brilliant Champions League semi-finals.
Yeah.
Nuts. First half of the season, the laughing stock of sport, let alone football, Manchester United.
Yeah.
And they're the best of the rest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have spent an absolute obscene amount of money.
Who'd have thunk? Money spent.
It's the joy.
Often does it. You can spend.
It's the joy of having no European football.
Money.
Yeah, well, that is a big.
Chelsea won that fluky league against the head under Conte.
You can spend money badly, you know.
You can.
It depends.
And they have. And Floyd Mayweather. Have.
Who's the Floyd Mayweather?
Coming back because he's broke.
The animator of Itchy and Scratchy finally gets his money.
Mm.
Homeless man buys a gold house. I don't know if that's a great way to spend your money.
It didn't work out for Midas.
No, didn't.
Exactly. How many Wolves players
difficult to heat
will stay in the Premier League? Give me an over-under.
No.
Give me an over-under.
Most of them will go to Saudi.
Where's Matt Doherty playing his football next season?
Wolves.
Yeah, I think he's staying there, yeah.
Is he out of contract? I think he might be out of contract.
I'm not asking you to name the players who's going to stay, but I'm just saying, the season that they've had, if anyone's impressed you whatsoever, they had that very, very mini spell.
Yeah, I thought actually
about a month ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, definitely. I was looking into prices for them to escape at that point. They were reasonable. I would say
his contract expires in the summer.
Doherty?
Reportedly, yeah.
Ever since he called his teammates cowards, he hasn't played much, so they might not renew.
I'd say he's straight back in the team next year. Right?
Yeah.
Free agent 2026. Unrestricted free agent.
It's one of the most forgettable sides in Premier League history.
That's the third of a 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Over which time he was paid 7.8 million.
Nice.
They had the chance to be memorable. Like,
they nearly did there.
For the wrong
reasons.
When
they beat Sherlock there on that Friday night,
to pick up some results.
They beat Villa.
They ruined it.
Yeah.
They had a couple of wins in a row. And Edward seems like a reasonable manager as well. But I think Wolves have been so kind of cast aside this season that we're not even talking about. We haven't even talked about Wolves. They're gone, obviously.
I wouldn't be terribly surprised if 4 or 5 Wolves players ended up on the books of Premier League teams next season. Teams value Premier League experience somewhat oversized, in my humble opinion. And I think maybe a lot of the stuff that happened with, you know, Florian Wirtz signing for so much money, people are going to be going, oh, we want more players who have Premier League experience. But like, Alexander Isak had loads of Premier League experience and it's been a bust so far.
They could have fun for themselves in the Championship because they got that Strand Larsen money.
Yeah, true, yeah.
They'll get their parachute finances. It could be fun, like, you could have a good time for yourself in the Championship at Wolves.
Yeah, it does seem as if their George Mendes connect has been broken. And that was the supply of the good stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
And now they're like, this is like a wire analogy there. Somebody wants to make it for me.
I have to see it. I have to sit up to watch it for you. And Burnley, same question. They're going to get relegated this week, probably.
Yeah, keep the manager, stay, go again. I think they did all right. They did a reasonable job.
It's an awful life, I'd say, as a fan, that up and down nature of it, because
you get
fans from these clubs, right, when they go up, you get the euphoria of getting promoted
every second season, like,
yeah. You get that euphoria, but then it's kind of miserable in the Premier League then, because it's like won loads in the Championship.
Expectations now at this point are probably quite low.
Yeah, it was less,
which is sad, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't know, do we have any fans of clubs that down low? Like, do we have a Wolves and Burnley supporter among our YouTube regular?
We have Ben in the office,
yeah,
as a West Ham fan.
Ben, our colleague, was on the news run last night with the lads.
Yeah, West Ham European fan, Conference League champions 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, I mean, West Ham's a different thing. Like, I mean, it's not absolutely shocking that someone would support West Ham from Ireland. But I haven't met a Burnley or a Wolves fan in a long time. Do we have any on YouTube? What's their existence like? Now, for Wolves, they've been established Premier League for quite some time. By a number of seasons. But Burnley, like, you're up, you're down, you're up, you're down.
Yeah.
Do you feel more alive as a Burnley fan than you would Fulham?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Surely.
I think you can enjoy yourself as Fulham, can't you? You're like a solid Premier League team. You get Fulham's, the odd big win. You have some nice players.
Fulham might be a bad example because it's so expensive to go to games.
Well, I think, you know, it's a lifestyle. Your football is a lifestyle accessory to fans there, as opposed to something that the people of Burnley feel it is like a, you know, everybody thinks we're just Brexit, but we're not. We're also this football team, this yo-yo football team that can't decide whether or not it's Sean Dyche or Vincent Kompany. Look at one of our alumni is managing one of the great football teams in world history.
True. And then to talk about the title winners, potentially, right? We talked about this after the show yesterday. It was off the back of the Henry Winter conversation. Who's player of the year, right? I'm usually not that fussed about it, but I do like the symbol of it, the symbiotic nature, right, of Man City.
Will I run you through the prices?
Yeah, please.
Declan Rice is second favourite. Bruno Fernandes is now the favourite. Wow. 15-8. Declan Rice, 5-2. Erling Haaland, 4-1. This looks like a good bet to me at the moment. Bernardo Silva, 9-2. Also looks like a reasonable bet. After that, I wouldn't put you off Ryan Cherki at 9-1. Semenya, 20s. Mark Guehi, 22. Gabriel, 33. David Raya, 50.
David Raya, 50. When's the last time we had this conversation with Barry Murphy on Friday? When's the last time a goalkeeper's won any big award?
He'd be pretty deserving.
Oliver Kahn won the player of the tournament in 2002, did he? Which was nonsense.
Ahead of Ronaldo.
Did he?
I don't know.
Neuer was third in the Ballon d'Or in 2014.
Yeah, we went through
he?
It. Yeah, there was a few that got the odd shout here and there, but would it be very arse in terms of the treatment of them from the outside if they won the league and they give the player of the year to the goalkeeper? Which at first was like, you're lucky bastards. Is that what you say if a goalkeeper wins it? Historically, Schmeichel, of course, in 96 was a big reason that United won the league, not just Kahn.
Oliver Kahn won the Golden Ball at the 2002 World Cup.
God, Ronaldo
the first and only goalkeeper in tournament history to receive the award. Ahead of Ronaldo.
And Ronaldo, top scorer and Ballon d'Or that year, didn't he? He got Ballon d'Or.
It's mental.
I'm watching a Ronaldinho documentary and he says there should be a separate award for the World Cup versus the Ballon d'Or, because the Ballon d'Or is all year round.
Yeah.
And he says it's massively weighted towards the World Cup.
Yeah. Called the Golden Ball.
Yeah. And it's all, no, but the prestige and esteem is nowhere near the Ballon d'Or.
The Golden Ball? No.
What?
It's not.
I don't remember who's Golden Ball winner.
I literally just told you it was Oliver Kahn.
No, but if we have Oliver Kahn in the studio, right?
How did you know before I looked it up?
If Ollie Kahn's sitting here, do you introduce him as the Golden Ball winner from 2002, Ollie Kahn? No, you say all of his collective achievements, but if you have Ronaldinho here, you could very well start with two-time Ballon d'Or winner. This is the prestigious difference.
Who
we get there?
Who was Golden Ball winner at the 2010 World Cup?
You have this?
No, I'm asking you, do you remember?
Well, Iniesta got the winner.
Can't remember the 2010.
So it's one of those boys.
Xavi? Yeah.
It's Xavi and Iniesta, I'd imagine, for 2010. 2010's fairly forgettable.
World just Cup, not very... It's not a memorable award.
Yeah. Like, it is interesting. Ali Khan winning it and they lose that final 2-0. To, you know, both goals from Ronaldo. So Davaray winning would kind of be funny to me.
It was... It's Diego Forlan.
Yeah. Wow.
Matthew knew this. Without looking up.
I didn't hear. Did he get that? That's pretty cool, actually. Where did Uruguay get the semi-final?
Fourth place finish. Yeah.
Bloody, didn't even get the bronze medal. Jeez. So if Arsenal win the league, okay, say nothing extraordinary happens for the rest of the season, Arsenal just win the league. Okay, no great performances, they just get over the line. Who's getting player of the year?
It's Declan Rice.
Okay. Yeah. Man City do the same thing.
I actually don't know.
Bruno Fernandes getting it, if that would be...
That's another also funny thing if Arsenal win the league, that Bruno Fernandes gets player of the year. For Man City, it would
I don't think he does. If Man City, if Arsenal win, one of the Arsenal players is getting it. But if Man City win, Bruno Fernandes is getting it. That's like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
No, they won't do that. They'll give it to his Portuguese buddy, won't they? As a tip of the cap, thanks for your service.
Ryan Giggs style.
Yeah, 2009 Ryan Giggs, yeah.
Hall of Famer, Matt
which
White.
Was not deserved, but they gave it for his Lifetime Achievement Award, basically.
Can't be Haaland. He's had objectively his worst season so far.
Well, Haaland, first half of the season, we talk about United first half of the season. Yeah. Haaland was incredible. Like, his numbers, even for him, were a bit ridiculous. And then he started this year.
10-12 game stretch where he didn't score. So
he is scoring winners in big games now.
He is, yeah, but player of the season. He has not been the Premier League player
If he scores, like, the winning goal in three of the next five games and they win the league, they'll give it to him. But if not, if he only scores one more for the rest of the season, they'll probably give it to Bernardo as a thank you. But I suppose it goes to show there's no outstanding candidate for Man City, because Man City don't feel like the title winners in waiting this season, even though they probably will be. It does feel like it's all about Arsenal. Just like it was all about Liverpool in 2014 and Man City stole in under Pellegrini.
Well, I think Man City's best players are the ones they've signed mid-season. Those are the guys that are pulling them over the line.
Would you give it to Ryan Cherki?
He hasn't been there long enough.
What a little impact.
Cherki's there all season, but he's in and out. And look, I don't know, his Rabona, Pep hating him, basically, has been one of the low-key baselines of the whole thing. What's he doing that for?
You know the Carabao Cup final? Do you know when he gets the ball, he starts juggling it, Cherki. And the cutaway is the Pep shaking his head. Well, we never know for sure if that was definitely in sequence in terms of that was definitely what Pep Guardiola was shaking his head about.
You think it's like the BBC edit of Trump?
But it could be. it could be anything. He could have been shaking his head for anything, Pep, about something that happened four phases earlier.
Yeah.
But if that is his reaction to it, it's pretty funny. And that Cherki will keep doing it.
And that Cherki ends up being incredibly important.
But then he has substance to it. That goal against Arsenal, it's fantastic.
That's class.
It's nimble footwork. It's actually because the simple finish and the nature of it probably underrates the goal already, because he just kind of passes it in almost Astro style into the far corner. But he's getting past. Was it Gabriel, Declan Rice? He puts it through Saliba's legs, past goalkeeper of the year contender David Raya. He's getting by the who's who of the league. And it's no bother to him.
Yeah, he has like a highlights package from his training in France.
Yeah, I remember
he's
that.
With the national team.
I remember. Yeah, yeah. and when he was signed in the summer, they showed what he was doing in training, particularly with Leon. He's like a very high octane adult rat.
Yeah. Yeah. More productive.
You know, the nature of Monday's shows, right, is because, like you said at the start, Jared, this is a really busy weekend of sport. We often leave a lot behind. You know, like, we have so much content to get through on Monday, and then by Tuesday we're nearly moving on. There's one thing we didn't actually note, right? It's not been a great season for Liverpool. Did anyone see Cody Gakpo's assist for Mo Salah in the Merseyside derby?
It's a flash of what he can do. Just haven't seen it this season at all.
It was sensational. It's one of the passes of the season.
Yeah.
It was absolutely perfect for the player in question that was arriving at for Salah.
The Liverpool fans have made him a boo boy, essentially. Yeah, like, that's not really a thing anymore, but it's not far off it. They see his name in the team selection. They go, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah,
he's the manager's buddy.
Exactly.
Well, I think they want Rio and Lamoa to get a bit of a run, don't they? But he will. I mean, there's plenty of time for Rio to play. I'm sure you'll see a lot more of him next season. There's a chance Gakpo gets sold.
Yeah, I think it's ramped up as well with Luis Diaz and how good he's been in the Champions League in front of their faces.
We also underrated who Liverpool were losing in the summer.
Yeah.
The actual players sold, or who left the club, in the case of Trent.
Yeah.
Trent Diaz, and obviously Jota had a big part to play. mostly coming off the bench, but still huge.
Yeah,
there's that. But then, they have brought like serious talent.
Signed big.
We've had this conversation repeatedly about Liverpool, and I think we do it all the time because it's sometimes it's kind of hard to fathom what's happened to Liverpool this season.
Well, I've seen good explanations for it recently. It's that they can't press anymore because they don't have that running power that's gone from the team, and as a result, nothing is joined up. The midfield gets exposed, the defence gets exposed, and they're less than the sum of their parts. Because when they do try and press, they're too slow. And that they've signed players who are not built for that. So, I don't know. I don't know why it feels like there's a divorce between the coach and the players buying the staff. Or the coach said he could implicate a new style immediately and has failed to do so. So maybe he gets one more opportunity to do that. Maybe they sign players who can run.
Give him another year.
But Isak's not that, though. Isak's not a closer downer, is he?
No.
Yeah, he can't be. Like, Isak would work hard for the team in Newcastle, I suppose, when it was going well for them and all that.
Do you think I think he gets next season, but do you think he gets the year?
No, I don't think so. I think if it's going badly at the start of next season, he gets the start.
Yeah.
But
that could be potentially a great waste of time and money.
Possibly. To see this, the back of the Irish Independent, United eye up Real Madrid star Ariel Tchouaméni to revamp their midfield. Because, of course, Casemiro's going, so they need a new Casemiro.
Let's sign another cast off from Real Madrid.
He's a young lad. No, he's only 26. I think Casemiro's, 29, 30 signing?
Did it say he's 26? I would have said he's younger.
Yeah, 26.
Right. Yeah, it's been around that long.
Rodri, of course, out of contract at the end of the next season. So Real Madrid want Rodri, but also Enzo Fernandez very much fancies himself going to Real Madrid. This will all be around about.
I'm thinking of E23.
This will impact everyone, of course. Elliot Anderson is another player linked.
Amadou Onana, they've been linked with United.
Would you sell him for the right price?
Yeah, everybody has a price.
Yeah. Crystal Palace midfielder Adam Wharton. Blackburn Sport of My Life tells me United should absolutely do everything they can to get Wharton. Everyone should.
Yeah, he seems very good.
You know?
Played in Talag and Shells and off the charts good.
He is. He's been scouted by United, but it's considered too similar to Kobbie Mainoo, and that could be a stumbling block in him signing.
Well, now that Mainoo's staying, Rashford is coming back. Barcelona aren't going to spend the money.
Yeah.
Rashford back now?
Well, it all depends who's the manager, isn't it? Do you think Michael Carrick's going to be the manager next season?
Not now, no.
Why? After they beat Chelsea?
I think...
They need, was it 6 points they need from the last five games to get Champions League football?
I don't know. Look, it's difficult to say. I think Iraola will be a better manager. I suspect that they won't go for another Iberian, an intellect. Like, no, sorry. That got ruined for you by somebody else, even though you're not that person. I'm sorry. That's how it just, we don't make the rules, that's how it works. Even though they do make the rules. So I don't know, but I suspect. Okay, let's quick thought experiment. He is the manager. Colm's lost.
I'm looking for the stat. I found it to be going.
If he is the manager, and he could have Rashford back the way Rashford's been playing for Barcelona, which is in and out of the team, but effective as you know, he is not. He's not going to Belfast for a night out. Larn.
Yeah.
In a fur coat.
Hopefully not, yeah. I think it's difficult. I think he's really benefited off playing off Lamine Yamal.
He might come back a better player.
We obviously don't have a Lamine
Yamal. Yeah, but he'll come back. He'd be like telling lads what to do. He's playing with the best of the best.
He's grown as a player and matured.
I
think he'd give him a chance.
I'm generally against going back. But it's generally speaking. But it does work out for some people. It does, you know. Mark Hughes came back. After his time abroad. Went well for him second time around.
How old is Rashford?
29.
Do you know what stat I was looking for there?
29.
This is actually exactly...
That's off the top of my head now, that's a guess.
So he is... he's 28.
28.
When will he be 29?
Very good.
October.
I was thinking about Sparky's time abroad there before he went. It was 1984-85, which was the last time Man United won away at Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool in the league. But it happened this season.
Oh.
That's the stat I was looking for there.
Back.
So this is the thing about you mentioned there a while ago, Darren. This is a bizarre season for United, or now they seem like this together. Rational side. Marcus Rashford side.
Mm.
Out of nowhere. And they were a joke there at the start of the season. But I don't think it's real. You know, this is a game once a week. It's a contract at the end of the season. It's a different
world. Simpler
season. Different world when he gets the job full time. So we don't know how it's going to go.
So no,
you,
we
probably,
do, we,
you probably go by managers that have been there.
We do know that they will have massive amount of money to spend in the summer, and they'll be able to, you know, get new fullbacks and new central midfielders, which seems to be the main areas of concern.
Mm. Do you think it's better for Carrick's managerial career long term if he says, like, I've done my work here, I've got your Champions League,
take the gig,
let's see what else
he might not get it again. He has to take the gig,
but he'll be the guy now. He'll be that gets brought in for interim every time this pops up now.
What's he do in the meantime? Just play golf? I mean, we do know he likes golf. So he could just become
I
see Carrick as a career manager. I see him different to Solskjaer. I could see Solskjaer play the role as interim whenever they need him. I could see him happily, even though he was turned down the last time. I could still see him coming back and saying, yeah, I'll do a job for you if I want.
Yeah,
I know he wanted longer this time, which is reportedly one of the reasons they went for Carrick.
He'll change his mind.
Yeah, they'll go back and give him the Gus Hiddink Chelsea role. That could be you for us. And I could see Solskjaer doing other things. With Carrick, I can see him being for the long haul. For a couple of decades, I can see him managing.
Oh, yeah, in general.
Just the okay. love of managing.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to do some of the stuff in the papers?
Do, yeah.
All right, so that's Blues back me, under fire, Rosinha insists Chelsea 100% support him, which is what the manager always says until he gets a little tap on the shoulder from...
The old bet I have there is a bit sketchy, isn't it?
Not a hope. Pay the man now.
It's still a good bet, I think.
Hammers point at Palace sends Wolves down. It's a good picture of last night for the hair sauce. That's what they're doing there. Dogbo signs Munster deal until 2027.
Yeah. I find that interesting. I don't know about anyone else.
Yeah.
Munster yesterday announced that Edwin Odogbo had signed a new contract with the province until the end of next season. I'm like, well, you got to tie this guy down, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want that, you know?
Oh, so what's your theory?
Well, it could be a case where he says, I'll do the 1 year deal for you. I want that central contract. I'll do the 1 year extension in the meantime, keeping the options open. Maybe he goes abroad.
Maybe you're right, yeah. It'd be fairly optimistic on his part to get a central contract straight away. But
after a World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
If he's in the match day 23 for the World Cup, you're like, screw you, pay me.
He's in a great place in his career. He's one of the very few positives at Munster.
Good fellas.
And you know what? They'd love him in France. He is such a French second row.
Why do you think he's such a French second row player?
Just a big guy, big powerful guy that can play ball.
Mm.
But they just love like a Miafu, Will Skelton. Mm. He's that type of player.
So he could do what? Like two, three seasons in France, come back, begin his Ireland career properly after his cap. After his debut.
Yeah.
There's great stuff in the Examiner today. They've back page Brian Gavin's 5 ways to improve hurling. Kieran Shannon's talking about Brian Lowen, and despite the fact he's like a legendary defender, his team is not built that way. Munster hit by further resignations over Randall appointment. This is Simon Lewis. I think the story was originally reported in the Indo. So obviously we knew that Billy Holland, Killian Keane and Mick O'Driscoll had stepped away from the Professional Games Board, but further resignations from the voluntary members of its commercial advisory group have also followed and resigned. The commercial advisory group is an informal voluntary group of business and industry people who advise Munster with its commercial activities and initiatives. Munster can confirm some members of the commercial advisory group have resigned from their voluntary positions. The statement didn't say why, but obviously it is in connection with their decision to hire Roger Randall as attack coach to replace Mike Prendergast this summer. Patrick Horgan's got a column there as well, and also interesting stuff from John Fogarty about Ger Brennan. He's comparing previous suspensions. Brennan seems to be a victim of the new rule which has come in since 2023 that if you get one of these bans, it's from all GAA activity. So the DRA upheld his 12-week ban plus the first two of the county's Division 2 games in 2027. He's certain to miss a minimum of 5 matches, 2 provincial, 1 All-Ireland and 2 National League, a maximum of 7. It'll climb to 7 if Dublin beat Louth and Portlaoise in Saturday week's Leinster semi-final, and the CCCC schedule their second round game for the Sam Maguire Cup for Saturday, June 13th. His suspension lapses on the 14th of June. So, you know, is it a little bit is a little bit steep.
Yes.
You know, if you can't do the crime, you can't do the time, don't do the crime. It's like, I mean, if he'd absolutely battered somebody, he'd have got the same suspension.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know people are saying he has to, Brody's column at the weekend, you got to own it, otherwise you won't be able to move past it. But like...
He definitely is the right to feel hard done by here.
Fogarty's saying, Davy Fitz was handed an 8-week ban for misconduct considered to have discredited the association. He was talking about the referee after one, I'm not going to tell my referee, whatever exactly he said. He never actually missed a game because the punishment commenced after Antrim exited the championship. 8 years ago, Kevin McStay was issued a 12-week ban for throwing a ball in the direction of linesman Niall Cullen during a Super 8 game. He missed the next game against Dublin and they were beaten in the championship and then it lapsed. And then there was loads of 12-week bans for Banty, Desi Farrell, Ronan McCarthy and Paddy Talley for COVID. Billy Morgan got a 24-week ban in 2007 and that had been doubled because he had said something to a linesman the previous year and then cut to 8 weeks a month later and amounted to nothing because they'd been knocked out. Mm-hmm. The rule change happened in 2023, which Dublin supported. The coverage of a time-based suspension is far greater. So there you go. Now, there are some eminent people involved in Dublin GA who might be available to step into the breach. We're hearing suggestions that Pat Gilroy might be involved in the background. That Dean Rock will be the manager, but he'll be assisted by... Which would make sense, you know? It's like, you're unavailable, but obviously they'd be well-known. And I'm sure he was kind of in the background anyway, helping out as required, but that would make sense. But it seems like, so we were looking up 21 years ago when he was the Chelsea manager, that Jose Mourinho was smuggled in to the dressing room by the kit man in the midst of the dirty socks and jock straps. Mourinho popping his head up like Marilyn Monroe for JFK.
There's ways around this, sir.
Are there? That's what I'm saying.
There's ways around this.
There's not, though. You can't.
Well, there is ways around this. What's stopping Ger Brennan reverting to a Dublin supporter?
Well, you can go to the match as a supporter, right?
Or go into the turnstiles.
So GA activity.
Can you do it?
Like,
GA activity.
How far does that extend?
It's a voluntary game, you know? It's the people's game.
Yeah.
So you go.
Can you not watch it on TV?
Can you not go to the match as a supporter? He's a Dublin fan. So he goes through the turnstiles. People in you only ever see their hands, but the people in turnstiles, they go, look, they say, I have this picture of this guy, keep this man away. But he has a cap on, like, so he's a scarf over. You can't tell if that's Ger Brennan or not. And even if I could, what's my power to stop this guy going? There's no security there.
Who do you ring?
Who do you get on to?
Charlotte Burns.
Charlotte Burns. So he's gone anyway. So he's
out the door.
He's serving his notice. You don't care. whatever. So he goes in, Ger goes in, buys a ticket, goes behind the bench, asks this, do you mind swapping with me? Yeah, Ger Brennan. Yeah, sure. Oh, absolutely. Sit there. Ger. And Ger's right behind Dean Rock. Dino. Look at
that. Take him off. The push up there.
Take him off.
Yeah.
So you blend into all the other fans. Take him off. What are you doing? But Dean will understand the tone. Like, that's Ger Brennan. I better do that. He can manage this side. I'm telling you, there are ways to do it. Or a simple text message during the game.
But can he do that though? Can he text?
You never see a manager and sign in with their phone out. But there's nothing stopping you. Just check your messages.
Like, would it be
there's ways around this.
The way in tennis, right? So you have the coaches up in the stands.
Yeah.
But they can't really look or make any gestures at the players.
They are allowed now coach them.
Oh, that's changed. That has changed.
Because it was happening.
Which?
In tennis.
Oh.
You can be coached.
Yeah, okay. But for a long time. You couldn't really look at them.
There'd be arguments about, what are you doing there? And it was, he's just encouraging me. He's just saying, come on, but he's telling him something. Yeah, there's ways around this. But I mean, the overall thing about, genuinely, right, how do you police a suspension in the GA?
That's a very good question. I'm not entirely sure.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50-milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150-milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Off
Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.